Our youth sports culture is broken. That was the headline for a recent op-ed piece in the Port Huron, Michigan Times-Herald. Written by a highly respected high school wrestling coach, the article has gone viral, drawing accolades from educators, coaches, parents, and youth workers. Even though we all live in this sports-worshipping North American culture, we are seeing clear signs that our obsessions and pushiness are not serving kids, families, communities, and the culture at large well at all. What damage are we doing to our kids as they get involved in youth sports? And what can we do to change the youth sports culture in ways that build kids up rather than tearing kids down? We'll be tackling these questions and more as we talk to the article's author, Coach Brandon Day, on this episode of Youth Culture Matters.
From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, this is Youth Culture Matters. If you're a parent, youth worker, educator, counselor, grandparent, or anyone else who cares about kids, we're glad you've joined us for this practical, informative, and hope-filled podcast. This is a place where together we talk and think Christianly about the rapidly changing world of today's children, teens, and young adults.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Youth Culture Matters. We are without Jason Sochnik tonight, but we have replaced him with an able-bodied friend, David Fraze.
Thanks. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, David's in Dallas, and once a year I have to punish myself and get somebody from Dallas, Cowboys fan, on the podcast. David's here joining us. David is teaching at Lubbock Christian. Our friends in the youth work world know David from National Youth Workers Convention, variety of other places. He's got a huge fan base, right? I mean, you got a big fan base.
At least one person, Walt Wheeler.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't talking about me. There's others. But, hey, you are also – one of the reasons why I have you on here is you're a huge sports fan. We talk sports all the time. And you're working with high school athletes right now down there in the Dallas area. What is it that you're doing? And whenever I see you, you excitedly tell me about this. You know, there's always a new story.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of Texas high school football. I'm a character coach, so I work with head coaches on attitude, effort, and character development. And every once in a while, I'll venture into the college or pro ranks, helping some of those guys with some of the programs they run with adolescents. So, yeah, your favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, they do some stuff with high school students and character, and I've helped them. And I just I believe in the platform of sport to impact students' lives.
Yeah, and you've seen that. I think, you know, we both agree with that. I've seen it happen in my kids' lives and the lives of others I've coached as well. So we all value – nobody here is anti-sport. We're very pro-sport, and we want to see it yield good results. And the reason I have David on is we have another guest – and this was someone I knew nothing about till last week when an article popped up on the internet. And I don't know if someone shared it with me or not, but here's the headline. And this was from the Port Huron, Michigan Times-Herald. And the article was written by Brandon Day. And it just says, Brandon Day, our youth sports culture is broken. And I read this, and I threw this up there on Facebook, and the response was just unbelievable from people in our world who work with kids because they're seeing this, you know, what Brandon's talking about in this article. And Brandon is joining us from Michigan. He is a wrestling coach, a highly esteemed wrestling coach who has garnered some national awards. And, Brandon, thanks for coming on. Do you coach football as well?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I coach football as well here at Richmond High School.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I am thrilled that you wrote this because you voiced, as an insider in the sports world, you voiced really well some of the concerns, many of the concerns that we have about how sports has become almost counterproductive. You know, many of us grew up sports build character. That's what David's doing down in Texas, and it almost seems like it's getting counterproductive. Talk about what you're doing out there and why you put, you know, pen to paper here and wrote this article.
You know, I've been teaching and coaching at Richmond for 17 years, and you know, over that 17 year period of time, we went from, I'd say in the last 7 years, we went from what you were talking about as a society as a whole, the, you know, athletics teach character, and there, it's something that can be used to help people become better people. I saw a shift at the lower levels, where it almost went from, you know, mom and dad, you know, I'm glad my kid's involved, to like, now they've become like agents for their kids. And, that was really disheartening for me. And then I, you know, that change, we try to fight it, you know, constantly. We want kids to, you know, to want to be, you know, people of character and people that can deal with adversity and not to be objects, that I don't want to say you that are used, but objects that are kind of, you know, there's kids are not put in the best situation because we're not looking at the kid as a whole. We're looking at, you know, my kid is, you know, not my kid. My kid is something that I use to, like, I'm managing him. I'm not his mother or his father. I've been told this and this by his youth coach or his middle school coach, so he must be great. And that there's been a loss of trust, I'd say, in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And it's frustrating as a high school coach and someone who values kids and wants to see the entire person, you know, develop and in the end, you know, learn great skills from athletics that's getting lost, you know, at the lower levels. So
what's been the response to what you wrote? You know, because I'm really curious, especially in, it's gutsy to write something like this, because basically you're writing out of your experience with the students that you're, the athletes you're working with there, the families you're working with there. And I'm wondering what, you know, what the response has been in the local community there.
Oh, it's been great. You know, and when I wrote it, it's a lot of these things are not things that I see in Richmond per se. I mean, Richmond is a very small blue collar community that still has a lot of those values and but it's things that I've, you know, we travel all over the country doing camps and competing and stuff, and things that I've noticed, you know, watching other places, other youth clubs, other high school teams, or things that parents from other communities have said to me or that we've witnessed as coaches. So our community has been really, really positive. I think it, you know what, I've had lots of people text me or email me, and the biggest thing I've got from people is, you know, coach, thank you for saying that. Like, there's so much pressure for us to get our kids involved in everything. And, you know, reading your article has really allowed me to kind of step back and take a deep breath and say, you know what, there are more important things than getting, you know, 100 jump shots up every morning, or there are more important things than, you know, getting 100 youth wrestling matches in any year. There's, you know, we kind of step back and smell the roses. And parents appreciate that. I think to hear it come from me as a coach and it kind of helps them say, you know what, it doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be 24/7. Let my kid be a kid a little bit, you know, and for them, I think hearing it from me was, you know, kind of like, he thinks that way, maybe I should take a step back too. So,
Brandon, I appreciate, you know, as Walt said, your article gave voice to so many coaches around the country that feel that frustration, and you put it so succinctly and so well. Sports is supposed to be able to not only teach a skill, but teach you how to live life well. And, you know, people that love sports still hear the voices of our coaches echoing in our head from those life skills they taught us. And one of the things that you said, which I love, is the idea that even if you're not a starter, this idea of being a part of an organization, a utility player, and just being part of a team, how do you see that that's been lost in today's sport culture?
Well, for me, you know, the experience that I've had, I would say, you know, just being in the hallways at Richmond High School and seeing the kids, the amount of kids that get to probably about 10th grade, and that's when they stop competing. And I ask kids, like, why, you know, why are you not doing this? You used to be real good at this. And two things kept coming up. Either, you know, the anxiety to perform because they were put under a microscope as, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And then, you know, the other ones were, you know, the other thing was, you know, coach, I didn't start I didn't start when I was six. I can't be good at it. You know, I can't be good at this. I can't be good at that. And to me, you know, that's a shame. I mean, I try to tell every kid, you know, there's a spot for you. There's a place for you. You know, not everybody can be, you know, LeBron James or can be, you know, Tom Brady, and that's okay. You know, it's okay for you not to be that guy. I'm not saying don't try to be the best you can be, but know that, you know, your role helps your team, helps your friends, helps your community, helps your school. And either the kid's not willing to accept that or the parent's not willing to accept that. And that, for me, that's pretty devastating, because I know some of my best memories, you know, were, you know, playing multiple sports, and maybe at one sport I was very, very good, but in the other sport, maybe I was okay, but my buddies needed me out there so we could be successful, you know, and that's kind of went away. And we have a lot of, you know, baseball kids in our community. Is a big youth baseball town. And I mean, you could start an entire, you know, two or three different teams with kids that are walking the hallways here that used to be great youth and middle school baseball players. And, you know, for one or reason or another, they're not involved, you know. And I think we, as coaches and parents, we have a, you know, we have, our job is to keep them involved, you know, and to get them to become, you know, parts of the greater good.
Yeah. You know, you're the only other persons, when you talk about 10th grade, it is kind of a magical grade, isn't it? That they just stop playing if they feel like they can't be that starter on a varsity sport, or if it is that pressure, and they do, they lose the opportunity to grow. You talk about youth sports and the idea of needing to go from one, you know, league to the next. Some of the kids you coach, I imagine, really don't have an off season, a time to just be a kid and let their bodies heal, do they?
No, you know, I think, you know, it's great to keep kids busy. You know, we're big proponents of, you know, two and three sport athletes here. But at the same time, you know, I would rather have them busy than, you know, getting involved in other things. There's so many things for kids to get involved with today that are counterproductive. But I do think it's important. And in Michigan, we have a dead period where, as coaches, football coaches, wrestling coaches, you cannot even communicate with those kids during that time. And I think that's important, because kids need to recharge their batteries. You know, they need some time to go fishing, or they need some time to go hunting. And you know, if there was any negative from what I got from my article, is that some people kind of said, you know, that kids, you know, what about the elite kids? What about this and that? My entire point was not to say don't strive to be the best you could be. My point was, when they're 5 through 12 years old, let them enjoy athletics, let them fish, let them do different things. When they get into, you know, 13, 14, 15, and they've got some real ability, if those kids want to, you know, strive to be the best, great. But let's be honest with them. Let's be honest with the parents, and let's focus on what is best for that kid in the long run. Mm-hmm. You know, let's not, you know, start at 6 years old and people tell you, you know, you get this pitching coach, this guy, that guy. No one knows what a kid's going to do at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. I mean, it's just too much too early.
I love in my that. Opinion. I was at a men's conference recently, and visiting the men's conference was the one and only Josh Hamilton. And so I was in the green room, and a guy walked up and said, "Hey, my kid's about to play baseball. What do I need to do?" And just like you said, almost cutting the guy off, said, "Let the kid have fun. Don't right. coach him. Don't do anything. Let him just enjoy the game. And wait until they're older to teach them how to swing and how to throw." And it's exactly what you're saying. Just let them have fun and enjoy the game.
Yeah, if they have the fire and the passion to want to be great when they're what's the objective as parents, as coaches? I mean, I tell parents all the time, you know, they're not giving out scholarship offers to sixth graders. It's not happening. I mean, you know, it's just, and if they are, they're crazy. I mean, genetically, I mean, we don't know where a kid's going to be. You know, we've been really fortunate here at getting lots of kids out of the hallway, you know, that don't start wrestling until seventh or eighth or ninth grade. And they put the time in, they work extremely hard. And by the time they're juniors or seniors, they're having a ton of success and they're loving it because they see the fruit of their labor. It wasn't, you know, I did it because my dad drove me here all the time or so-and-so made me do this. It's because they're invested in something they really want to be a part of. And the life lessons they learned through that hard work and that discipline, that's what we want, right? I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I want the fire hot and I want the kid, you know, excited about being really good in high school. So if the genetics are there, then they, you know, then they'll go to college. You know, like I said, the negative about the story, some people said, well, what about the elite kids? We've been fortunate. I have three guys right now wrestling NCAA Division I level, two at Southern Illinois and one at the University of Minnesota. And those guys all played multiple sports. Those guys all, they had a fire and a passion to be good at everything and to help their friends and make their community proud coming into high school. They weren't, this is a job. It was, I'm a kid having fun and let's go score touchdowns and shoot double legs and win track meets, you know, that, and that's, I mean, I think a lot of people think there's like a, you know, I got to start when I'm five and go at it 100 miles an hour. And all the research by some really smart people, smarter than me, says that's not the way to do it. But unfortunately, you know, parents buy into this whole youth culture and this guy that I'm paying money to teach my kid how to do this and that. They're just not giving them factual information. And it, a lot of good kids are being hurt as a result of it.
Mm. You have raised, Brandon, about 10 questions in my mind. I'm scribbling here because I want to hit all these, but we need to take a break. We are, for those who are tuning in right now, we're talking to Brandon Day. He is a high school wrestling coach in Michigan. He coaches football as well. And you're a teacher, correct? You teach?
Yeah, sixth grade.
So you're sixth grade. That's awesome. My daughter was a sixth grade teacher, and then she jumped down to third grade. So you're in the classroom. You're with kids. Brandon has written a phenomenal article. If you're listening to the podcast, we've linked to it at cpyu.org on the podcast page. The article was called "Our Youth Sports Culture is Broken." This comes from the perspective of a teacher coach. And just great, great fodder for parents and for youth workers to think about. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Here at the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, we want to help you stay up to date on today's youth culture. One of the tools we've developed to keep you current is our weekly Youth Culture e-update. Delivered to you by email, our Youth Culture e-update comes to you in a format that allows you to easily scroll through and quickly choose those stories and resources that will be most helpful to you in your particular setting. To sign up for this free resource, go to our website at cpyu.org, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and enter your email address in the tab marked e-update sign up. It's that simple. Welcome back to Youth Culture Matters. I'm Walt Mueller here at CPYU. David Fraze, my good friend who's down in Dallas, Texas, is joining us. David teaches student ministry down there at Lubbock Christian University and then also is a character coach at a local high school with the football team. We're joined today by Brandon Day. Brandon is a high school wrestling coach and a football coach, and he's in the classroom teaching sixth grade in Michigan. And Brandon had an article that everybody has to read. And I guess, Brandon, you have that newspaper did say a lot of folks are reading this, right? Is that, did you say, you know, all these downloads, how many?
Yeah, so far, the last time I talked to the gentleman who asked me to write it, he said there was like 70 plus thousand shares. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what it's at today currently.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I'm getting, you know, contacts from people in, you know, North Carolina, all over the place. So people I don't know that have emailed me and stuff and had real nice things to say. So it's circulated pretty well.
Right. And the article's titled "Our Youth Sports Culture is Broken." I hit you up real quick because I thought, man, this is going to get lost, but I want to talk to this guy. This is just brilliant. This is great. You know, before the break, we were talking. You mentioned the word anxiety. One of the things I say all the time to folks who want to know about youth culture is go find a teacher, go find a coach, and someone who's been teaching and coaching for 10 or more years. We used to have to say, you know, 30 or more years, and ask them over the course of their career, what have they seen change in terms of kids? And what I'm hearing now, even from young teachers and young coaches, is anxiety is off the chart. So David and I are familiar with a guy named David Elkind, who when you and I were getting started in our work, you know, with kids, we would hear Elkind, we would read his books. He's up at Tufts University. He wrote books like The Harried Child and All Grown Up and No Place to Go. And I will never forget something he said. He said, what kids need is a time to grow. What we give them is a premature adulthood. And what results is stress and its aftermath. That was happening in the mid-80s when he was writing the late 80s. Now we're seeing it being lived out in big ways. What are you seeing, Brandon, as a teacher and as a coach? And from your perspective, I mean, I know there's multiple things, social media, all kinds of things are fueling this. But from, you know, where you've got your feet on the ground in the world of athletics in the classroom, what's feeding this?
You know, I think kids are just afraid to – we're not letting kids fail, mm-hmm. you know, and it's okay to fail. I think any, you know, good athlete, teacher, coach, whatever, I mean, so you learn more from your failures. And I think what's happened now, there's such competition between, you know, households, you know, in a community that, you know, there's no opportunity for the kid to just say, you know what, I messed up, let me fix it, we'll go back, we'll do it again. And parents want, you know, success right away. That's the biggest thing. They, you know, I think in culture in the past, you worked towards success. And now if there's not instant success, you know, people freak out. And I see it in the classroom where a kid will do, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a kid did bad on a test. He'd say, you know, Mr. Day, can I get an extra study guide or can we do review time before after school? Now it's instant tears. And I have to spend time talking that kid down and saying, hey, you know, you just messed up. We'll fix it. We'll study. And the fear of failure, the fear of going home and saying I didn't do well when nobody's perfect. I mean, we've all failed at some point or another, you know, and then you take it into athletics. I kind of touched on before. We've got you a pitching coach. We've got you a hitting coach. We got you a quarterback coach. We got you a weightlifting coach. How are you not All-State right now? How are you not, you know, going to be a college athlete? It takes time. You know, it's not going to happen instantly. You know, and what parents need to understand and realize is that every kid is different. Every situation is different. People progress and learn at a different pace in the classroom. Athletes grow and progress at a different pace, you know, on the athletic field. So Tommy and Johnny should not be in competition with each other. Tommy should be in competition with Tommy, and Johnny should be in competition with Johnny. It's not healthy. It's not good for the kid. You know, they feel like they can do no right. And, as an adult, as a teacher, I see these sixth graders and it breaks my heart because as a sixth grader, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know where I want, you know, I knew my parents loved me. I knew that, when I did something bad, they corrected me. When I did something good, they praised me. And I definitely wanted more praise than getting, you know, in trouble. But I figured that out. I was given leeway to figure that out. Where these kids are so micromanaged today, they're not given a lot of leeway to figure that out. And I'm not blaming parents. I'm just saying, you know, the culture that's been created, you know, win, 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 win. You get an A, get an A, get an A. Like, you learn more from getting a C than you do getting an A. You know, and you learn more from striking out than you do from hitting a home run. And that's been lost. That is people need to be reminded of that. I mean, it's okay to fail. As long as you learn from it, it's fine.
Well, this is so good, Brandon. It's funny, the precipitating factor of the NFL and their character program is exactly what you're talking about, that we're so into the wins, we forgot about the lessons. Since it's learned through failure and just participating. And you do such a good job in your article talking about how a kid is more than what they accomplish. You know, really to get you know, you said it really well to say you can be the best you can be, but our society comes at him and says, you got to be the best. And for a coach, coaches don't coach that because it's impossible.
Right.
All you can do is your best. So let me ask you about this. There's a formula made famous by Ohio State. Not a big fan, but, you know, they're a pretty successful football team. The
right.
E plus R equals O formula. You know, the event plus a reaction equals the outcome. I found, and I'm interested if you could find, that sometimes that formula doesn't work today because of what you're talking about. All of the events of these young people have been so controlled that when they do fail, they don't know how to respond. The formula is void because every event's been controlled. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think about the kid who maybe matured quicker than other kids and it was extremely dominant in middle school. And now the other guys have grown and kind of passed him by. And so what am I going to do? You know, I think the reaction now is, well, I'm going to blame somebody because I'm not as good as I used to be, or I'm just going to quit because I'm not as good as I used to be. It's not, you know what, there's a role for me and I need to fill that role to help my team for the greater good of the community, the school, everything. That is lost because these kids' parents, why is he not number one anymore? Why is he number four? You know, why is he losing to this guy when he used to dominate this guy? And parents don't get that, you know, genetics and Mother Nature play a big role in that. You know, it doesn't have to be someone's fault. You know, it doesn't, kids progress at different rates. You know, I was talking about in the classroom. I mean, I became a teacher in sixth grade. I had no idea I was going to be a teacher. You know, my parents just tried to support me in everything I did. And I figured it out. Kids aren't given the opportunity to figure it out today. You know, it's not. And then when they fail, it's like I've seen so many kids, their feet are in quicksand. They don't know what to say. I mean, there's going to be people asking questions and they put so much stress and pressure on themselves when it shouldn't be that way. Mm. It shouldn't be that way.
Brandon, in contrast to some of those controlled environments that you're talking about and that micromanaging that parents tend to do, in your article, you talk about as a kid being able to just do those pickup games in the back of that,
right,
in the field near that roller rink that you talk about. Do you have any suggestions as to how we can encourage that type of play and enjoyment of sport in that type of setting, which because of the, you know, the micromanagement, because of the controlled settings, we kids don't often have the chance to do anymore. Do you have any suggestions on how we could get back to that?
I would just say, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, that I got from people, feedback from my article is people said, you know, it really helped me. It made me take a step back. And I would, in anything, I don't care if you're a teacher, a coach, doctor, whatever, really go seek out people that are experts in that area. Because I guarantee you, you know, people that are masters in their area that don't have a monetary motivation are going to tell you, this is what's, you know, I've been lucky enough. I had two friends that were phenomenal. You know, one that was a professional athlete long-term, one that was there short-term. And with their kids, they're not doing it like these people are doing it. You know, they're not, they know that, you know, you need to take a step back and let your kids, you know, play and discover who they are, because they're not necessarily going to be you. They're not necessarily going to, you know, want the same things you want, and that's okay. You know, I think parents need to go. John Smoltz had a great article about, you know, letting kids play when he got inducted in the Hall of Fame. He made a speech. You know, several college coaches, you know, I've read stuff, you know, Bob Stoops, you know, let kids do multiple things, find their way. There's a lot of other people out there too, but if you really do the research and if it's really, you know, you really want to be productive for your child and you want to, you know, read stuff from people that have really experienced it at the highest level, you'll find that the love of sport and the kid by themselves falling in love with it is the only way they're going to have sustained success. Mm-hmm. It's the only way that the kid or the kid's friends or whatever are going to learn those lessons. I mean, you can't do it, you know, by micromanaging the child. There's you guys probably see it all the time. There's lots of disappointed parents that, man, we put so much time and effort into this. Well, unless the kid is putting the effort into it and they want to put the effort into it, it's a waste, you know. And I would tell you, go read, you know, articles from people that are experts in that area. You know, look at what doctors are saying about starting too early and what it does to a child's body. You know, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of smart people out there. Don't get blinded by wanting to compete with the guy down the street and what he's doing. Don't get blinded by, you know, your own, you know, fire to compete, because it's not you, it's your kid.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Coach Day, we talked a little bit on the break about these select coaches, the advertisements. Hey, come to our camp, we'll get you a look to a college, and all the money that's invested. Can you hit us with some percentages and kind of a reality check for our listeners? How many of your high school athletes are going to make it to the next level, girls and guys, and who are going to make it to the pro levels?
Oh, I mean, the statistics, I mean, you can, the NCAA puts them out there, you know, for goodness sakes. I mean, the NCAA puts it out there. With the MHSA, our governing body, they always put things like, you know, going professional and, you know, something other than sport. I mean, it's such a small percentage. I mean, I'm not saying that to deter kids from chasing their dreams, because it does happen. We've been fortunate. We've sent kids to the Division I, Division II, Division III level, all that stuff. But genetics play a huge role. You know, you can be the hardest working kid, this and that, and it may not happen for you. And for parents, I mean, I read an article this fall on one of our local papers where a 10-year-old was sitting down and signing a letter of intent that he just signed with a Fed baseball team. And I felt so bad for that kid, because I'm like, that's setting you up for nothing but failure. You know, that is, I hope to God that you don't peak at 10 years old and then you look back at 17 and say, man, at 10, I was this, what happened? You know, I mean, it's rare. It's rare. I mean, and the people that do make it, you know, for the most part, they're born with that. That's going to happen. You know, that ability is God given, and there's no amount of hours with a pitching coach or a batting coach or whatever that are going to get you to run a 4-3. Either God has blessed you with that ability or he hasn't, you know, and that's out of your control.
Wow. This is so good. We're going to take another break here, and then we're going to come back, continue our conversation with Coach Brandon Day about his article here, Our Youth Sports Culture is Broken. Some great insights. Parents, I hope you're listening to this, because this is so helpful, and the kinds of things that he's talking about, really, I think if we take them to heart, we'll strengthen our relationship with our kids and set them up for success rather than for failure, as we are so many times. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. Tens of thousands of kids have been trained by their parents and youth workers to think Christianly about music and media with our How to Use Your Head to Guard Your Heart 3D Guide to Making Wise Media Choices. This easy-to-use teaching tool needs to be in your youth ministry toolbox if you desire to teach your students to integrate their faith into all of life. Jesus calls us to follow him, and that includes following him into the 6 to 9 hours a day of screen time that shape and mold the beliefs and behaviors of our kids. To learn more about our 3D Media Evaluation Guide and to order a copy for every member of your youth group, go to our website at cpyu.org. Teach your kids to engage with media to the glory of God. Hey, we're back, and we're talking to Coach Brandon Day about kids and athletics and the kinds of pressure that kids are under. If you are listening to our podcast and you haven't seen Coach Day's article, and the article's titled Our Youth Sports Culture is Broken, it appeared in the Times Herald in Port here in Michigan, and you can either Google that or go to our homepage for the podcast, cpyu.org. Find the player for this particular episode. What are we up to here? 78?
This is episode 78.
Episode 78, and find that, and that article will be listed down there. By the way, folks, if you're listening, it is helpful if you're listening, like on Apple Podcasts or wherever. Go ahead and give us a good review. That helps us, and more people learn about the podcast that way. So, Brandon, we were talking during the break with you about just this money machine, this craziness that's out there in youth sports, where, you know, kids are traveling, families are packing everybody up and driving halfway across the country for a weekend or a week, paying boatloads of money, not just for hotels and meals and gas or flights, whatever, but they're dropping money in the pockets of these, you know, organizers of these elite camps or these, you know, tournaments, whatever. But talk a little bit about that, because that, to me, I mean, my wife and I had this conversation. I feel like that's shady business. And I don't think, number one, I don't think it's especially helpful to kids and to families, but I also think it's shady business. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but if you feel like I'm onto something, you know, you're basically throwing money in people's pockets, right? With great promises, little return.
Right. I think there are some great people out there that do some great things for kids. But when it comes to the tournaments, you know, there can be five different national tournaments on the same weekend throughout America. So who's really the, you know, who's really the winner? Who's the national champ? Well, the winner is the person that's collecting the registration fee. You know, it's not the kid, it's not the parents, and it creates this, you know, I can only speak for wrestling, because that's, you know, what I focus on. And I've seen kids, for every great kid that makes it to college that took that path, there's seven that don't, right? And you've got, or more, then you got the parents who have put, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 from the time this kid's five until the time he's 17 into the, you know, he's a seven-time national champ before he gets into high school, and then he gets into high school and he never grows, and there's no scholarship offer. When these people have been telling, he's a seven-time national champ and we're going to get him ready for this and that, and it's just not realistic. You know, it's I feel bad for those people. I talk about my article a little bit. We take a ton of pride in not, you know, not gouging our parents, you know, for money. You know, your kid is given an ability level that they're going to reach genetically, whatever, it's predetermined. And if you think spending 50 grand from the time they're five to the time they're 14 or 15 is going to get them to that level, you're mistaken. You know, it's not. These people make promises. They, you know, and then, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know how many of them are connected, you know, with college coaches to get them scholarships. I don't think a lot are. I think there's very few. I think if you're really truly being honest with a parent, you know, there are a lot of factors that are going to factor into that kid being successful at the high school level and then translating into a successful college athlete. I mean, it's big business, and we have to use common sense. You know, your 7-year-old is not going to be, I can't tell. I guarantee you Barry Bonds' dad couldn't say at seven, my son is going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, it or going to hit 70 home runs, or, you know, any, you know, Joe Montana, it couldn't say when his kids were 8 years old, they're going to win Super Bowls. Like, no one can predetermine that. That is, I mean, if people are making promises and parents are paying money for that, they need to take a step back and use some common sense, because it's just not realistic. Yeah. You know, we have a family here that I started coaching when their oldest son was in first grade, and both parents were college athletes. Dad was a teacher. Didn't really have the money to do all the things that he felt he was being pressured into doing. And I told him, you know, if you will listen to me and follow this pattern, we can help your kid be successful. I wasn't saying your kid's going to be a D1 college athlete, but genetically the kids are pretty gifted, and they spent a tenth of what the average, you know, baseball wrestling parent spends, you know, throughout their kids' careers. And their kids have been very successful for it, and we saved those parents a lot of money, but we were honest with them. I wasn't motivated by financial gain to help those kids. And I think parents need to really step back and say, you know, is the person that I'm taking advice from really giving my kid the best advice, or really giving me the best advice, or am I just another person paying in so that they can make a living off of coaching youth sports or middle school sports or whatever? I mean, it blows my mind. It blows my mind because we got to be smarter than this, you know?
So coach, 99% of the people who read your article really do appreciate it. And you said 1% didn't, and I'm pretty sure it has something to do with those individuals that run these select leagues.
Yeah, definitely. The majority of them. Yeah.
So some of the parents listening to this podcast are thinking to themselves, well, my kid's the exception because they've swallowed the lure. And you and I both know that the things that parents need to know, and I'll say it so you don't have to, is there's people who ask their buddies who are recruiters just to say something to another kid so the select coach can say, hey, that coach over there from that big university is interested in you. And it just runs the machine forward. So with that in mind, and kind of hope that is promised with money behind it, what is the usual process by which a kid is recruited to go to the next level from high school?
I can only speak for the situations that I've dealt with, and we've been very successful here. We've sent a lot of kids to school, but the coaches contact us, or we reach out to the coaches and say, we have a kid that we think can compete at your level. I've never had a third party recruiting service. Never. Parents have come to me, lots of parents. Hey, should I sign them up for this? Or we got this in the mail. And I tell them, don't do it. I'll sit down with you and your child. We'll sit down with the school counselor. And the number one thing, they don't want to hear about home runs. They want to hear about academics first. So we'll sit down and we'll do all the SAT, ACT, GPA stuff first, and then we'll get into ability level and accolades. And then I make contact with that coach, or a coach will reach out to me, but never through a third-party service. And some people have done that. I've seen some of these things where, you know, a 10-year-old's got his highlight films out there, and they're, you know, watching him hit home runs in the Fed Ball Nationals or wherever they're at. And it just doesn't work that way. You know, these college coaches are extremely intelligent. That kid is an investment. They're not going to base their investment off of, you know, film they saw as a 10-year-old. You know, it's not realistic.
That's why y'all, and I would say coaches like you, and I think a lot of coaches are like you, they're heroes. They want the best for the kids, but they want sport to mean something more than just wins. They want that competition to build character. And I know right now in the state of Texas, even there is legislation in one of our governing bodies down here to try to exclude all 30 third parties from recruiting, that you can only talk to the coach. So if a third party tries to, they'll make it, you know, you can't do that. Because you guys really are heroes. Y'all want the best for our students. And I think you know, more than just to go to the next level to compete, but you want them to go to the next level to get an education and make the world a better place.
100%. That's when the biggest issue here, I think, is trust. And getting it, the hardest part of my job after 17 years and the things we've done, every year you have to reestablish that trust because there's always a new group. And some parents buy in and some don't. And those who don't usually get lured in by these third-party services because they see it's a nice, shiny web page or this or that, and they're not comfortable enough to get to know the coach or the person that really cares about their kid. So they figure they're going to go out and do it on their own. And they get taken advantage of, and I feel bad for those people.
Mm. Hey, I you know, we need to wind down here, but, Brandon, as we do that, and this has been so helpful, I know we have multiple groups of people who are listening, and I'm guessing that you don't just work with athletes, you work with parents. And if you were like, yeah, I'm thinking of one of my oldest son, his high school football coach, sitting down with the parents beginning of the year, just laying it out for us, how about a word to parents? You know, what What can you say? Give us a couple of nuggets of wisdom to parents. Then I want to have you give a couple of nuggets of wisdom, you know, things you've said before, I'm sure, to some of the kids who may be listening. And then we've got a lot of youth workers here. They get frustrated with this because they see the destruction in kids' lives. Maybe a word of encouragement to them or some guidance to them. So, you know, parents, kids, and then youth workers.
Okay. To parents, I would say, you know, just you're smart people. You know, let's use common sense. I mean, I hope your kid ends up becoming, you know, the next, you know, great baseball, football, you know, goes to Michigan, goes to USC. What I hope that happens. But let's use common sense and understand our main objective, our main goal is to make them good people and employable adults that can deal with stressful situations. Because that I mean, eventually athletics is going to end, you know, and when it ends, as a parent, I have two daughters. I know I want to be judged on how they live the rest of their life. You know, are they good people? Are they hard workers? And, you know, if we can instill hard work and character in every kid, everything's going to be easy. You know, it's going to be gravy. I mean, for a parent, you know, just be honest with yourself. And so, you know, am I doing this for me because I feel like I missed out on something as a youth? Or am I doing this for my kid because they have a love and a passion and a fire that burns to be great at what they're doing? You know, and that those are hard questions to, you know, to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, but it's what really needs to be done. You know, and for athletes, if you love something, go work as hard as you can, surround yourself with good people, but know that, you know, genetically you get what you get. And there is no shame. There's a lot of guys that didn't become college athletes or professional athletes that went on to be successful business owners or teachers or coaches. And there's no shame in that. It's not all or nothing. You know, you can have an impact on people doing lots of different things, and you can find success doing lots of different things. Your value isn't in your athletic ability or where you finish as a high school or a college athlete. Your value is in how you treat people and, you know, giving back to your community in your school. That's where your true value is, not in, you know, what newspaper clippings say about you or, you know, if you made it or you didn't make it. You know, making it isn't becoming a college athlete or a professional athlete. Making it is becoming a good person who gives back to others.
Mm. That's great. That's awesome. Hey, you know, you talked about your mom and your dad, and it sounds like you got a great relationship with them. Growing up, you had a great relationship. Was there anybody else who stepped into your life, you know, when you were an athlete or you were a kid? Could have been a neighbor, could have been a coach, a teacher, who spoke something into your life that you've held on to? And if so, what was that they said? Because I love hearing this because it helps me understand the impact that I can have on a young person.
No, I have two older brothers, and, you know, both very different, and one very successful in the military. The other one, you know, coached me wrestling-wise, and just watching them, I learned more from, you know, watching them, you know, struggle, you know, in certain areas and have success in others. But the morals and work ethic that they impressed on me, along with lots of great coaches, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be around some great people, and I'm mentored by a guy here that I coached with named George Hamlin, who really hammered home the, you know, the lessons that my parents already, you know, instilled in me. You know, I was lucky enough. My mom, you know, we come from a Christian family. My grandfather was a minister, and my mom could always put things in perspective for me. You know, and it, hey, you know what? You had injuries or you had this, you didn't get where you want to be, you know, be happy for those that made it there, but, you know, take pride in the fact that you could have an impact on the world in different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've been fortunate, blessed a lot of great people in my life. And I think that's why I teach and coach, because I want to give those things back to the kids that I interact with.
And I love your passion. We can hear that. And you're the kind of guy, when I listen to you, I'm going, okay, this is the kind of guy I want teaching my kids, coaching my kids. Of course, they're all out of high school now.
Well, but, I appreciate that.
But yeah, you now, did you just, did I hear you right? Did you come from a family of three boys, or did you have sisters as well?
I had a younger sister as well.
Okay. All right.
Two older brothers and a little sister.
So. Yeah, so I'm guessing she was highly protected and cared for, and you guys beat the snot out of each other all the time, right?
All the time. You know, that, a lot of those, I could have wrote for days with that article, but, you know, I focused on the roller rink part of it. But my brothers, I mean, humbled me a lot, you know, gave me confidence to protect me. But they humbled me a lot and kept me focused on what was important in life.
Yeah. Well, this is great. I really appreciate David, and I really appreciate Chris as well. You taking the time after practice, you're in the busy part of the season. Are you guys hopping into, here we call them districts, you know, sectionals, regionals, states, that sort of thing? How far along are you in your season there with wrestling in Michigan?
Tomorrow we wrestle our regional championship, and then we have our individual regional championship this weekend. So we're about a week out from our state tournament, our team state tournament.
Well, we wish you well in that. We hope your guys do great. Is it looking good for you guys in terms of the, you know, I know you've had some state championships.
Yeah, we're currently the number two ranked team in the state, and we have a great group of hardworking, humble kids that are working towards hopefully winning our ninth state championship.
Well, we hope it's a good week for you here, the next couple of days and then next week as well. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Brandon Day, and we will link to his article, as we said before. Go to our website, cpyu.org. Look for the Youth Culture Matters in the resources. You can find that. Click on this episode 77, and under the player, 78, and under the player, I didn't do well in math. Under the player there, you'll catch the link to the article, as well as everything else we've talked about here. So, David, any final words?
Well, I think I found a hero in Coach Day. I want to follow him. What a guy. I wish he coached some of the kids in my family as well. I've been blessed with a lot of great coaches, and my kids were, and you represent coaching very well. And thank you very much, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate
that.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode of Youth Culture Matters.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Culture Matters, a podcast from the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. If you'd like to learn more about today's youth culture, visit our website at cpyu.org. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at podcast@cpyu.org.